The sermon text for this Ascension Sunday is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Paul writes, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. According to the working of his great power, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." I'd like Jesus to put his foot down. That's what you have to do sometimes. When the children bounce the ball against the house too often while you're studying, or your spouse comes home drunk again, or an employee calls in sick on a Friday for the third week in a row, you have to put your foot down. So I wish Jesus would. No more bombings or shootings. No more babies aborted or children going hungry. No more landlords raking in huge profits on rents while so many can't even afford a place to live. No more war. No more cancer. None of it. Lord Jesus, please come and put your foot down. The message of our text of this Ascension Day to celebrate Jesus ascending into heaven is that Jesus did put his foot down, that he is putting his foot down, and the time is coming when he will finally and completely put his foot down. Maybe you've guessed that I want to focus this morning on that little phrase in the next to last verse of the text. The beginning of verse 22 says that God has put all things under his, that is, Jesus' feet. That is what Jesus ascending into heaven means. It was a visible expression of the fact that Jesus is now over and above everything else. As he rose into that cloudy sky over a hill of near Jerusalem, there's a mistake in the text there. Beth will tell you, geography is not my strong suit. It says Galilee there. That's wrong. It's by Jerusalem. The soles of Jesus' sandals looked down on everything and everyone in this world. And finally, down on everything in the universe. Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, one of the largest cities on the western coast of Asia Minor. We'll see if I get this right, which is what we now call Turkey. And Ephesus was the capital of that half of Asia Minor. And there was a huge temple to the goddess Artemis, which was known as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. So this was a fantastic temple. Ephesus was also a busy, important center for commerce. It had gotten very prosperous under the Roman Empire. So the Christian church in Ephesus lived beneath the power of the Roman government, lived in the shadow of pagan religious activity at that temple, and in the middle of people whose main concern was to make as much profit as they could from their businesses. You get a little picture of their situation in Acts chapter 19 when the silversmiths there in Ephesus who made statues of Artemis almost lynched some Christian missionaries traveling with Paul. Christians there in that city had to be afraid of local leaders in government, of leaders in religion, and in business. Their faith in Jesus might have gotten them in trouble with any of those powerful people. And so Paul wrote telling them that Jesus was putting his foot down, to reassuring them that Jesus was in control even when it didn't look like it. I'd like us to look at the powers and authorities under which we now live, whether here in Eugene, in Oregon, or in the United States, in the world. The message of the ascension of Jesus is that he is over it all, and he's putting his foot down. Verse 15 commended the Ephesians for their faith and for their love toward all the saints. And remember here that faith also means faithfulness in the New Testament. In the midst of all those antagonistic powers, the Ephesians remained faithful. And they had even shown love toward other Christians. And so in verse 16, Paul gave thanks for them and assured them that he prayed for them all the time without ceasing. Verse 17 then begins to tell us what Paul actually prayed for the Ephesians. He asked the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, who sent Jesus, to give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, come to know Jesus. In the midst of their fears, in the middle of their precarious life as a tiny minority in a hostile culture, which is what we're becoming, Paul wanted revelation for them. He wanted them to see what they might be missing about their situation. It's also a message to us about our own situations as Christians in a hostile culture. Paul wanted the eyes of their hearts to be enlightened, says verse 18. Enlightened to the fact that they had been called to hope and that they were rich. And in verse 19, that they in fact had access to a power greater than any of those government or religious or economic powers around them. You and I also need to have our eyes open to the fact that we have the same kind of hope and riches and power in Jesus our Lord. It's so easy to feel like our lives and the forces around us are beyond our control. Whatever your politics, I doubt that you are really happy about local, state, or national government right now. You probably feel utterly powerless to do anything about any of it. In the spirit of faith, we Christians must be honest and admit that non-Christian beliefs and philosophies are on the rise. At least in our country. In other parts of the world, Christianity is growing, but in our part of the world, no. Gallup and Lifeway Research both released polls this month saying 4 out of 5 Americans are worried about the moral state of America. But the polls also show that there's a deep divide about which moral values are important. Most of us have no clue about how to make any difference in that. Paul wanted the Ephesians to know, though. And we can also see how the economy affects our lives. Some of you are looking for apartments to rent, as I prayed for, or homes to buy, and you're feeling frustrated and powerless because of the high prices and the low availability of housing in our area. And that's just a small piece of a huge economic structure that seems to determine much of how we live. Paul wanted the Ephesians to know, and God wants us to know, and to see with the eyes of our hearts, what verse 19 talks about, the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. There is a power over all those other powers. There is a force greater than all the forces around us. There's a power which verse 20 shows us here. God put that power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead. In our readings from Luke and Acts today, we heard Jesus tell his disciples that that after he ascended, they would receive that power, his power, the power of the Holy Spirit we're going to celebrate next week. It's the same power God demonstrated when government, religious, and economic powers put Jesus to death. God raised Jesus up to put his foot back down on the ground and walk out of that tomb. God gave Jesus power over death, so he has power over everything else. That power over everything is the point of Jesus ascending into heaven. We Christians often get it wrong. The disciples there in Acts 1 got it wrong as they stood there looking up into heaven. They thought, like we often think, that it means Jesus is gone, that we're on our own. But the meaning of the ascension is not that Jesus is gone, it's that Jesus is Lord. Verse 20 goes on in verse 21 saying, God seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. Now, some Christians think Paul was talking about spiritual powers and forces there. They say rulers and authorities and powers and dominions are classes of evil angelic beings. So which is it? Is this about Jesus' power and being above spiritual forces, and like angels or demons? Or is it about Jesus being above earthly forces like kings and presidents and corporations? The answer is yes. It's both. The way spiritual powers show up in our world is in visible people and in social structures. Name a power. Name a ruler. Name a title. Jesus is above it. Presidents, kings, prime ministers, generals, CEOs, managers, Jesus Christ is Lord of them all. Religions, philosophies, universities, school systems, Jesus Christ is Lord of them all. Nations, cities, corporations, armies, terrorist organizations, Jesus Christ is Lord of them all. Jesus has been raised to the right hand of God to put his foot down, to put his feet down on all the rulers and powers and authorities and forces of this world forever. As it says, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And so we come to the place then where I'm putting my foot down today, verse 22, which says, and he, God, has put all things under Jesus' feet. Jesus put his foot down on everything and everyone. That's our Christian hope when the world seems hopeless. That's what our eyes need to be open to see as we sang this morning, to see even when and where it does not look that way. Paul was referring back to the Old Testament, to Psalm 8, which asks, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? And David, the psalmist there, was talking about human beings, wondering why God has any use for us. But then in verses 5 and 6 of that Psalm 8, he says that God has crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Now that's supposed to be about the human race. God did give us dominion over this world when he made it and made us. But instead, as we've been saying, this world and its powers have dominion over us. Jesus is how that promise in Psalm 8 gets fulfilled. Jesus is the Son of Man under whose feet God has placed all things. Jesus is the one who ascended into heaven so that his feet could be above every force and power on earth. We have a hard time seeing that power of Jesus. Just like those disciples standing there looking into heaven, we're not seeing him anymore. But he is there in heaven, and his foot comes down on every power on earth. But it looks to us like all the power and authority is in the hands of evil and godless and greedy people. It's hard for Coptic Christians in Egypt to see the power of Jesus when masked men with guns attack a bus full of Christians, including children, all going to pray. It seems like all the power was in the weapons, when those men demanded that the men on the bus recite a Muslim confession of faith. And when those men refused, they began shooting everyone, including children. It's got to be really, really hard for those cops to see the power of Jesus. But they do. Last month, after a Coptic church was bombed on Palm Sunday, Amir Adib is a prominent Egyptian talk show host. And he interviewed on his show the wife of one of the guards who kept the bomber from getting inside the church. And that man died when the bomb went off outside. And that wife said, "I'm not angry at the one who did this. May God forgive you, and we also forgive you. Believe me, we forgive you." Christianity Today reports that following that expression of forgiveness, the host, Adib, was, and this doesn't happen on television in these kind of shows, was stunned into silence for 12 seconds. Long seconds. That's a long time on silence on television. And then he finally managed to get these words out. "The cops of Egypt are made of steel." And then with his voice cracking, he said, "How great is this forgiveness you have? If it were my father, I could never say this." All those cops know. And Paul wanted every faithful follower of Jesus to know that it's not them. It's not we Christians who are strong, made like steel. It is Jesus. Jesus who died forgiving his enemies and rose then to take his place over us all. Wherever Christians conquer the forces of evil the way Jesus did, by accepting suffering and offering forgiveness, you can see Jesus stepping on those dark powers. And so when you give up your own convenience and comfort to shelter someone in Jesus' name, that's our Lord's foot coming down on homelessness. When you get passed over for a promotion at work but keep doing a good job, that is Jesus stepping on injustice. When you give so that a child can eat, that's Jesus crushing hunger. When you get to know and become friends with someone who's a different color or speaks a different language, that is Jesus standing on the top of racism. Jesus puts his foot down, and you can see it. He puts it down everywhere on everyone. We are all beneath his feet. Jesus puts his foot down on bombs and bombers. He puts his foot down on wars and generals. He puts his foot down on child slavery and human traffickers. He puts his foot down on oppressive governments and evil leaders. Jesus puts his foot down on everyone who tells a lie when it's convenient, who is unfaithful to a spouse when it's pleasurable, who gets rich off the poor because it's legal, who seeks revenge because it feels good. Jesus wants to step on all that. Ultimately, Jesus wants to put his foot down on you and me so that we submit to his rule and authority over our lives. Jesus is putting his foot down on all the evil in this world. He's putting his foot down on all the evil in us. But verses 22 and 23 tell us he's doing it for our own good. God put him up there at his right hand, made Jesus head over all things for one reason, for the sake of one thing, there at the end of verse 22, for the church. That's us. Jesus is putting his foot down for our sake. He loves us. He loves his people. He loves them and brings them together in his church. And he ascended to heaven to rule over everything for that one purpose, to bless, preserve, and save his church. That's how the Bible ends. As David read this at the end of his sermon last week from the book of Revelation. The bride of Christ, the church, that's the end of the story, coming down from heaven to meet her bridegroom, Jesus. Our Lord loves us, and he has the power to take care of us, to save us from evil, and make us the people He means us to be. He has the power to free us from all the dark forces of this world and give us eternal life in His kingdom. The message of Ascension Day is that the kingdom of God, which we seek together as a church, the kingdom of Jesus, is not just something we're waiting for someday. Jesus is reigning over our universe, over our world, and over us right now. We and everyone else, no matter how powerful or frightening, no matter how small or afraid, already have the feet of Jesus over our heads. Ascension Day helps us understand that, to have the eyes of our hearts open to that, to see that under His feet is just where we want to be. Some of you have pets. How many of you have pets? Okay. Where do they want to be, especially if it's a dog? Right there at your feet. Maybe even under your feet. Those companion animals know instinctively what Christians need to know. It's a good thing to be at our Master's feet, like we sang a few minutes ago from that old hymn, talking about the peace and joy and security of sitting there beneath the feet of Jesus. That's the blessing and gift of His ascension. We can all be safe and secure there, beneath His feet. I've talked about Jesus putting His foot down, about Him stepping on the evil and terrible forces of our world. But for those who know Him, it's not a put down, it's not getting stomped. It's a place to rest and have hope when there's no other rest and hope in this world for us. By dying and rising and ascending into heaven, Jesus gave us the grace of choosing to be there under His feet, of voluntarily accepting Him as Savior and Lord. When you do that, no one else can walk on you. You are safe at home with your Master. I call you today to the feet of Jesus. He is Lord over every power you can imagine and experience. He is Lord over every situation that affects you. He is Lord whether you know it or not. Like Paul, I pray that you will know it, that the eyes of your heart will see Him, that you will know the love of a Master who died and rose for you. Have hope in the fact that He loved you enough to die. Then trust in the power that raised Him from the dead, His power over every other power. Then be glad to be there with all the rest of His people under His feet. Amen.